We consider it a great privilege to have Brother Andre Libita join us from Lviv, Ukraine. He's next door, actually, at his nephew's home, and they've already had their meeting there. It's a seven-hour time difference. It's about 4:38 there, time p.m., and so we're very thankful. Brother Andre, we turn the meeting over to you.
Thank you, Brother Rick. I have my discourse written on my tablet, but I would like to say some words before. First of all, the greetings from our class, the present at today's meeting, and a desire to send their love to all the present we will meet with. So this is my privilege, is my and my duty, send their love to you. And this is really a privilege to communicate with you in such a manner. It's a great blessing of the time we live in. I think we often repeat this, that this is great blessing which we have with our Lord returned for a second time to our, as which wait and its inhabitants wait for the kingdom, which is everywhere in the universe. But our earth still have many problems with understanding who is true God, what is his plan, why Jesus Christ has died at the cross, when this kingdom will come, and when all the people will know God. We have this knowledge beforehand, so we are very happy. We have this great family. And as I told you previously, I met some of you at the conventions, not only through internet, but in life at the international convention, especially Brother Rick, Sister Ruth, and probably with some else. I'm looking for those names which are written and try to recall, to bring to my mind, did I have the opportunity to meet you somewhere in the Europe? Okay, I will read what I prepared for you for today. So I'm addressing you from the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. Also, the achievements of modern science and technology allow to create the appearance of direct presence between you. We are brothers and sisters who have one Father. Our elder brother Jesus Christ gave his life for us so that we could become children of God. Our path here on earth should show that we are worthy to be his children. I say what I feel in my heart because years spent with the truth helped me to feel more in my heart the greatness and love of our Creator. It's really hard to put into words, but I think you feel the same. Today we will talk about apocalypse. When we hear the word apocalypse, the last book of the Bible immediately comes to mind, or as we call it, the book of Revelation. In this book, the great creator revealed in an orderly fashion the events that were to take place during the two great periods of time known to us as the Gospel Age and the Millennium Age. These events were covered in the prophecies, pictures, and sayings of the Old and New Testament. And now God decided to reveal these things to one of the apostles, and through him to the whole church, to reveal as one great vision composed of many separate visions, in which he uses the symbolism of different places of scriptures, united it into one whole. The book of the Apocalypse is no greater mystery than the rest of the Holy Scriptures. It only reveals the general order of God's plan, hidden earlier in various places of the Scriptures. The word apokalypto, verb from apokalypsis, is literally translated to remove a veil or covering, to reveal to the eyes what was previously hidden. It means to show, to reveal what was previously secret, unknown. We will not go into consideration of this book, but will analyze some verses in which these words are mentioned in the New Testament scriptures. Why? Because they mean discovery, revelation, and we are interested in knowing how God revealed individual features of his plan to the faithful followers of Jesus before giving them one big general revelation. It is these individual revelations that provide the keys to the understanding the great book of the Apocalypse. We are interested to see how this word and its derivations are used in different places in the New Testament. This will allow us to take a broader look at its use. It's not a secret that we, as Bible students, have our own established language terminology, and are often surprised to discover new facets of biblical truths that we have not paid attention to before. This is true. We are used to some Bible students' language, I would say. And sometimes other people cannot understand us when we operate with the Bible student terms. So when we speak of Revelation, we usually mean either the book of Revelation or the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world after the end of the Gospel Age. On the one hand, this is correct. But on the other hand, it hides from us an even wider application of this word in the New Testament. Let's see what it writes. Let's read Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed apokalypto, them unto babies. So we here have the word revelation, apokalypsis, in the form in the verse, the verb apokalypto, revealed. What this verse speak about? It speaks that he, Father, revealed the secrets of his plan. He revealed them to the humble and sincere, who will never think that they have grasped them by their own minds, but will accept God's words with childlike sincerity. Let's look into another verse, Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Matthew 16, 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed apokalypto it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What revealed? Revealed that Jesus is the Messiah. It becomes clear why Jesus didn't answer the teachers of Israel when they asked if he was the Christ. Because it was revealed apokalypto only to his closest disciples. The next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 10. But God has revealed apokalypto them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That is, revealed the Haiko, spiritual things, revealed himself. Only those who look at things from God's point of view, who have his Spirit, can hope that God will reveal these things to them. Excuse me for my pronunciation. I unfortunately don't know English so well as you do. I would like, I hope you understand me. So, let's sum up. Holy Scripture speaks of revelation, apokalypsis. First, of truth, God's plan, and other spiritual things throughout the gospel age. So we have revelation, apokalypsis, of the truth, of the God's plan, and other spiritual things throughout the gospel age. These things are revealed, or we have revelation of these things during the whole gospel age. As stated in Romans 1:16-17, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, apokalupto. From faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. Does this verse summarize what I said before? That in the gospel of Christ, the God's righteousness is revealed to those who have faith. The truth is revealed to those who grow in faith and walk by faith. Over time, we begin to understand how important faith is and how everything immediately becomes dim without it. We begin to forget even what we knew well and were sure of until recently. The loss of knowledge and understanding most often arises from the loss of faith. If someone become to have some problems with understanding of the truth, the source is probably is this faith. Romans 16 verses 45 and 26. Now to him that is of power to, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation, apocalypse of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. This mystery that Jesus Christ will have a bride couldn't have been revealed before. Now the words of Psalm 45, verse 10 and 11 were fulfilled. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Number 2. Revelation of the mystery that the Gentiles are joint heirs. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. 3, 5, 6. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, it is now revealed, apokalupto, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So the second point, number 2, is we have the revelation of the mystery. The Gentiles are joint heirs. Number 3. Revelation of the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one. This is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 8. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, apokalupto, the son of perdition. And then shall that wicked be revealed, apokalupto. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We see that verses 3 and 8 speak of the same event. This revelation began at the time of the Reformation. The nature of this system of lowliness was revealed, which pretended to be Christ, taking for itself his title Michael, that is, who is like God. Point 4. The revelation of our salvation. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to the inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, preserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed, apokalupto, in the last time. So here we have the revelation, apocalypsis, revelation of the salvation in the last time. Here, first of all, we are talking about the about the completion of our salvation at this time of the second presence of our Lord with the first resurrection. Also, we are already saved in some respects. Our full salvation will be revealed in the resurrection, when it will become clear where we have achieved what we have dedicated our whole life to. The point 5, the revelation of the glory of the church. Read Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, apokalypto, in us. Revelation of glory. The fulfillment of this verse begins with the change of the church in the first resurrection to only glory and immortality, and then points to an even greater glory when she sits on the throne of the universe forever and every knee bows to her, as stated in the next verse. Point 6. The revelation of the day of the Lord. Revelation of the day of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed, apokalypto, by fire. The day of the Lord will be revealed by fire. Very important verse. Most Greek scholars are inclined to believe that the phrase shall reveal refers to the word day. Also, different Bible translations present it differently. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire of the day will test everyone's work. So let's read one excerpt from article number Reprint article number 5916, published in the Watchtower magazine for July 1916. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like the fuller's soap. This is Malachi 3:2. The words of the prophet given in our text refer to the close of the present gospel age. This is the same day prophesied by the apostle Paul when he declared, "The fire of that day shall try every man's work of what sort it is." 1 Corinthians 3:16. It is the day in which the apostle Peter wrote so graphically when he said that in that great day of the Lord, the heavens should be on fire and the elements should melt with fervent heat, and that the earth and all the works therein should be burned up. It is the day of which the prophet Zephaniah spoke when he said that in the great day of the Lord, all the earth should be devoured with the fire of the God's jealousy. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many of the faithful prophets of God prophesied of this day. The prophet Daniel was instructed by the angels of the Lord that in that day there should be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Our Lord Jesus himself verified this prophecy and added that never afterwards should there be such a time. The scriptures call this day the day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah, the day of God, the day of Christ, the day of vengeance, that great and notable day, etc. It is a day in which the old order is to perish and the glorious new order is to be ushered in. In foretelling these days, both the prophets and the apostles speak of the class which will stand in this day when all others shall fall. St. Paul says that everything which can be shaken down will be, and only their kingdom, which will then be set up and which cannot be shaken, will remain. The point 7. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen to what Brother Russell in this article, Parousia, Epiphania, and the Apocalypsis of Our Lord, wrote. Let's read his words. Foregoing, we drew the line of distinction between the Parousia and the Epiphania, or Apocalypsis of Our Lord, quite sharply, to assist the reader in noting the difference of signification. As a matter of fact, however, the bright shining of the present one is due to begin shortly after the parousia begins. And again, as at the first advent, it will be true that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So Brother Russell said that Epiphania begins shortly after the beginning of his parousia or parousia. The revealing of the Lord's presence begins with the faithful of the church speedily and gradually extend to the world in general. Up to the time when the strength of the trouble breaks forth, only the faithful watchers discern the parousia, and only by them can the bright shining of the Lord's presence be appreciated. To this, the bright shining of the Lord's presence, the increasing brilliancy of the light of truth, respecting the word and character and plan of God, is an ever-increasing joy and pleasure. This is that you, brethren, are not in darkness, respecting the events of the day of the Lord. I will stop here for a moment. We know that parousia or presence is as one moment, and the process which continue from that moment to the into the future. And Brother Russell explains in this article that we may look at the Epiphania in the same way. The Epiphania means revealing of the truth. Bright shine of the Lord's presence. The truth which we understand progress. Studying the scriptures, we begin to understand more. And this way, this light of the truth is being revealed to our minds. So we can say that not long after the Lord is present, the Epiphania for the church began to show them the beauty of the truth. We began to understand the meaning of the prophecies. We began to understand and to appreciate the God's character, His wonderful plan of the ages. This is Epiphania, or bright shining of the truth to the church. This very important thing. Because usually when I speak about these three terms, parousia, Epiphania, and apocalypsis, we refer to the article where Brother Russell used these terms to the world. But in this article, parousia, Epiphania, and apocalypsis of our Lord, Brother Russell refers to these terms as had their fulfillment for the church. So let's read further. While the revealment of our Lord's presence thus illuminates the hearts of His faithful one as the day star, 2 Peter 1:19, and causes them to understand and not to be in darkness with the world in respect to His plans, present and future, the bright shining of the Lord's presence shall affect nominal Christians and the civilized world in general also, but in totally different manner. For the character of Christ's powerful work during this period of this presence, His presence, is such as to cause a general opening of eyes along the light of justice and injustice, righteousness and sin, the rights of mankind and the wrongs of mankind. The light which has been shining out for the past 20 years, written in 1902, is awaiting the world to a realization of its rights and its wrongs, to a realization that the earth belongs to mankind in general and not exclusively to a few who have seized it and fancied it. This same light is exposing the corruption and falsity of many long venerated theorists and institutions, religious, political, social, and financial. It was in reference to this light of this presence at the Second Advent that our Lord declared that this day of his presence would bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the secret counsels of the heart. For there is nothing hidden that shall not be uncovered. And in this connection, let not be overlooked that the apostle declared that Satan's power to deceive the world through Antichrist is to be consumed by the bright shining Epiphania of his presence, Parousia. Important thing also, how the Lord's Epiphania affect the nominal Christendom, and how it affect especially Antichrist. The Antichrist had to be consumed by this Epiphania during the Lord's presence. Usually we look to the time when this false system, Babylon, will be destroyed. But we have to look at the process. And this process is during the time from the time of Reformation, but especially from the moment our Lord returned to the atmosphere, because it's said here that this Antichrist should be consumed by the bright shining of his presence. The truth revealed at the present time has special effect on the society and especially on Christianity, on Christendom. So, the bright shining of the present one is causing great joy to the hearts of the faithful, who wait patiently for him and for the deliverance which he has promised. But the bright shining, as it affects the worldly, had the effect of quickening their selfish propensities, producing discontent, and thus preparing the world for the great climax of catastrophe predicted in the word of the Lord, and as a consummation of this age, the overthrow of all the governments and institution of this present order of things in anarchy, a time of trouble such as was not since there was a nation. Also important thought, this bright shining, this Epiphania of our Lord has effect of quickening the selfish propensities of the people, producing discontent, and thus preparing the world for the great climax of catastrophe. And Brother Russell summarized, our Lord's Epiphania, or bright shining, and his apocalypsis, unveiling, began shortly after his parousia began. The bright shining of his presence is now visible to those who are walking in the light, to those who are not in darkness with the world. It is a mental illumination, and illumination to the eyes of our understanding, and not to our natural eyes. The eyes of our understanding have been opened to see him that is invisible to the natural sight. The Epiphania of our Lord is already affecting the world also, and not through the eyes of their understanding, for they have no eyes for such spiritual things. Nevertheless, the bright shining of the Lord's presence is influencing and affecting the whole course of the world through the increase of knowledge on every subject, especially noticeable since 1878. Eventually, all the blinded shall have opened eyes of understanding, and every eye shall see him. And the end of quotation. This revelation, Apocalypse, the apostle connected with the resurrection of the church. This revelation is mentioned in several verses. I would like to draw your attention to something that unites these verses. They speak of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. Revelation of Jesus Christ to their church at his second coming. 1 Corinthians 1:7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming or apocalypsis of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church waiting for apocalypsis of our Lord. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold and perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing or apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. Trial of faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we here mention three verses which belong to the revelation of Jesus Christ to his church at his second presence. Point 8. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, Apocalypse, from heaven with his mighty angels. This verse refers to the whole harvest period. And point 9. There is a verse in which the word apocalypse refers directly to the revelation of God's children to the whole world. This is Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation, apocalypse, of the sons of God. So let's make some conclusions. First, the diverse use of this word in the New Testament shows that it is impossible to create some mathematical scheme substituting these words into which we will immediately get an explanation of the verse. Each verse must be considered separately in the context of what it's talking about. The Bible is not a mathematic. You cannot add two figures and to receive this or that verse. Every verse, every text of the Bible must be considered in its context. Look at what Jesus or prophets wanted, or God through prophets wanted to tell us. Second, we need to make a distinction between the revelation and knowledge of the Lord in his second presence by his faithful followers, his church, and the revelation and knowledge of the Lord and his church by the whole world when the gospel age ends. Distinction, revelation for the church and revelation for the world. Point three, this approach will help us to better discern the work of the Lord now and in the future. Four, a careful study of this subject should bring great blessing to all watchful servants for whom the desire to know the Master will better means the desire to do it better. And five, the more we study the scriptures, the more we learn how little we know and how much effort must be made in this direction. Even when we understand the topic as a whole, we often run into difficulties when it comes to explaining the details. Only after understanding the details, we are able to properly appreciate the whole. I hope today's reflection, these topics have given you additional information on or reminded you of what you already know. In either case, I hope that the Lord will fill our hearts with gratitude for the measure of knowledge he has revealed to us and continues to reveal. Let's only remain faithful. Thank you.
We thank you, Brother Andre, and a very precious subject for those of us who recognize we're living in the days of our Lord's parousia. And as you brought out, we're living in the days of his epiphania, the light of truth, which reveals the errors. And we look forward to the day when the rest of the world will have that same light and same understanding. So Brother Andre, very special words. We very much appreciate that. I'll act as your chairman, but now we will invite first if there's any questions regarding the discourse. Sister Debbie.
Yeah, just wondering where, if you had the number of the article that you read about the parousia, epiphania, and apocalyptus, if you had that article number. Because I didn't hear it if you said it.
Probably I didn't say it.
It's a very famous and quite long article.
Yes, yes, of course. Uh-huh.
If you don't have...
I don't have it. I don't have the number. It's probably a number somewhere, 2000.
That was my guess. We'll find it for you. Ruth is looking right
this
now.
This is the year 1902.
1902. Very good. We'll find that for you, Sister Debbie. Very good. Other comments?
The article is under the title, Parousia, Epiphania, and the Apocalypse of Our Lord.
Very good. Other questions on the discourse? Sister Molly.
Morning. Morning, Brother Andre. Thank you for your discourse. I didn't have a question. I just had a comment. I just really appreciated going through the different scriptures that show that word apocalypto that we often just pass through. I, myself, just pass over not thinking of that word that so often in our culture is referred to in a different way. Just thinking like the end of all things, the apocalypse, and you picture things exploding all over the world. And of course we know that there is an application in that way for, you know, apocalypse, but I really appreciated just the emphasis on what we know it to mean truly in the scriptures, and that it's a revealment and an unveiling and an uncovering of truth and the beauty that God has in store for the world. And I liked how you went through and showed how that revealment would happen for the world, to see the Lord, for the church to have that glory revealed, that they would see the Lord in that unique way, and just appreciated the message in a condensed form in many scriptures, and appreciated your slow pace of speech also. It's helpful because it kind of sinks in as you're speaking. So we appreciate that very much. Thank you for being here this morning for us.
Thank you.
I'm going to call on Ruth first because I think you found something.
I put in the chat, it's reprint 2972, but I just wanted to comment for Brother Andre. As I've read that article over the years, I found it somewhat confusing, but I found that with what you said today, if you're reading that article, you have to keep in mind that sometimes the words mean different things for the church's understanding compared to the world. I was looking for like, okay, are we in the parousia? Are we in the epiphania? Or are we in the apocalypse? And as you explained today, it is the key for my understanding that it depends on if you're part of the church revealed with the truth revealed, or if you're part of the world, it's not an absolute. And so I really appreciate that that's the key to understanding those words. Over.
Okay, very good. Brother Roland, please.
Peace of God, dear brethren. Thank you, Brother Andre, very much. First of all, I will appreciate if you can put in chat, you know, this, if you have a document of this discourse so we can have and study later on. And I have two questions. I'll put one now and then we'll see if later we'll have for a second one. As far as I understood, you found out from your study that the word epiphania or bright light in scripture sometimes refers as the bright shining for the church and sometimes for the world, when the world will see this bright shining and when the church will see it. My question will be, so what will be the formula? Let's say if I go in scripture and see a scripture and there is the word epiphania, how do I know? Does that refer when the church will see, or does that refer the world will see? What will be the formula for to see that epiphania, to whom it refers? Thank you.
As I told, it's difficult to find any formula in the world, in the God's word. Each verse should be searched or should be discussed in accordance with the context. when you read the paragraph, you will understand what it talks about. When it talks about the church, you will not use this word for the world. And vice versa. So look carefully what you are reading about. Because sometimes we are so used to some thoughts presented, even in the articles, when Brother Russell looked at some points from different viewpoint, or from different viewpoints. Each time when you read something, please try to understand why he spoke in this manner and in no other. This is very important. I don't know if there are any formula for the Bible. Words dogmatic. We use in English or Ukrainian or in Russian, you know, we use different words. The same is with the Bible. God used different words. And the main essent is to understand what is talking about. What is the main thing? If you understand the main thing of this verse, you will understand the meaning of every word. For example, when you read when you know that the Apocalypse is a revelation to the word, and when you read about the church, and when you begin to use this word, to refer this word to the world, you will have a commotion in your mind. Why this word, why apostle wrote to the church and spoke about the church and uses the word with belonging to the world. Try to understand what the apostle is talking about. Maybe it's not clear for you because my English is not so well as Brother Roland's.
You have expressed yourself very well. I was going to say that you and Brother Roland could feel free to speak in Russian, and we will listen.
But it will take some time. But if I could to expect to explain to Brother Roland in Russian, could me to explain it to him in Russian?
Yes, please.
Брат Роланд, послушай. Каждый раз, когда ты читаешь какой-нибудь стих, обязательно нужно понять, о чем этот стих. И тогда ты будешь понимать, каков смысл того или одного или другого слова. Если стих говорит о церкви, а ты будешь стоять упорствовать в своем, что, скажем, в Апокалипсис касается только мира, тогда получится замешательство. Ты будешь как это понять? И неправильное применение слова полностью запутает мысль, и тогда приведет к неправильному пониманию стиха. Спасибо. Thank you. Excuse me.
I have to say that I believe I met yourself and Brother Roland at the same international convention where we had a special end of the day side study on the period of the judges as being 450 years in our chronology link.
Yeah.
That was many a year ago.
Yeah. Even I would say more. Me and my wife were at his wedding. We are witnesses.
Very nice. Very nice. Other comments or questions on the discourse? Brother David. And then Sister Carrie.
Brother Andre, thank you so much for that discourse. I greatly appreciated the thoughtfulness of your words and the reverence for the scriptures, and your choice of words that you used. I picked up the spiritualness that you were trying to get across. At least that's what I picked up. So I thank you for that, and thank you for your expertise with languages, because I think that gives a lot of insight into the scriptures, because we all communicate with different tongues, so to speak, and to understand each other, it's a talent all by itself, to know several languages and to have the words and the insight of those languages. I deeply appreciate that and the time that you spent, because I also did read that article, and I loved it for just the symbolism of it alone, the brightness, the parousia and the apocalypsis, or just that beauty of revealment and revealment of things once sacred, which is in this world, it's very difficult for people to understand the holiness and sacredness of God in our world, because things are so profane. So I thank you very much for that, and I thank Brother Rick and all those brothers and sisters involved with organizing. It was a great privilege. Thank you very much.
Sister Carrie, please.
I thank you too for the discourse and for joining us. And I was touched to hear you and Brother Roland speaking together, and reminded of the tenderness and love and beauty that is from Russia. And I also wanted to ask about the Epiphany. I'm kind of new at this, so I was thinking the Epiphany all along was first introduced in the story in the Acts, the book of Acts, when the upper room where the light is on the top, the flame on top of the heads of, and they spoke in tongues. But I'm wondering, usually if in classes you find out it was much more than ever I realized. And I was wondering if there are other events in the New Testament that are tied to Epiphany, the concept of Epiphany, or even the Old Testament. Thanks.
So this was the question, yes?
Can you think of other examples of Epiphania or Epiphany being used in the Old or New Testament?
I'm trying to call to my mind, but my topic was especially about the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking about to mention Epiphany also, but it would lengthen the discourse when I would continue with the Epiphany at the same time. So this is another topic. So I can't call to my mind just now some verses. I have to check in the Bible. Excuse me, because I didn't prepare it for the Epiphany discourse, but about the Apocalypse discourse.
We certainly understand that. But Brother Libita, maybe you could reread for us and comment a little more on 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. You brought it out, but maybe a few more thoughts on that verse where the word epithania and parousia both appear in a relationship.
Yes, I was reading this from this article, the Epiphania Apocalypse. And in this connection, let not be overlooked that the apostle declares that Satan's power to deceive the world through Antichrist is to be consumed by the bright shining epiphania of his presence, parousia. So here, Brother Russell said that Satan's power to deceive the world, or we would say the binding process of Satan, will be consumed by the bright shining. Because this Satan's power to deceive is operating through Antichrist. That is the, we know that Antichrist, their Christendom, which in some sense had its beginning from the Emperor Constantine and the Nicaea Council, when those teachings about the hell, Trinity, immortal soul, were received for the Christians. And we know that this teaching, these doctrines, were used by Christians for many, many centuries, up to the second presence. And we know this was inventions of the Satan. And when our Jesus came for the second time, he presented the truth in very simple, in very clear manner. We know how this was done by Brother Russell, the faithful servant. And now we see that people in the world don't believe these teachings. If they explain them or talk about them, they talk about them as the tradition. And I think that the world in general doesn't believe in these teachings. This is one of the signs that this power of Satan through the Antichrist is consumed, is bound, is being bound.
I appreciate that, Brother Andre, the ongoing process of revealing these things. We think of that, the verse in Luke 17, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." So we're living in the day of our Lord's return. And for us, he's revealed it spiritually through the harvest message that the Lord has returned, and we can recognize the errors of the Antichrist system. But to the world, they don't recognize our Lord's returned, but they're seeing some of the problems of the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church is having to address those problems, like sexual abuse and various things. But the Vatican Council II in the 1960s changed the use strictly of Latin for the Tridentine Mass. They tried to make it more the Catholic services more accessible to the public. So with these things, we see the process continued, but we're blessed because it's revealed to our mind spiritually, and the world is seeing some evidences, but not recognizing it's a result of our returned Lord yet. Time's ahead of us. So good question, Sister Carrie. Thank you, Brother Andre. Follow up?
One more thought. Okay. May I?
Yes, please.
Of course, we know that people in the world departing from these doctrines of Antichrist departed from the Bible also. They abandoned these doctrines and abandoned the Bible. But in general, now that Satan cannot deceive the people in the world through their Antichrist, because people in the world don't believe these doctrines and they abandon the Christianity. Also, we see in many countries, in Norway, Finland, Sweden, Estonia, Czech Republic, Hungary, that people are becoming faceless. They become infidels almost totally. They hold the traditions. They hold the tradition, but they are not persuaded in these doctrines anymore.
Well, it's quite a mix in the world. It's true. Higher criticism has had quite an effect on many. But there's still a billion Catholics in the world today. And depending where one is, it depends on the strength of their beliefs. That's true. Well, we thank you for that. Brother Roland, you said you had a second question?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. At one moment, it seemed that the reference was that we have one period of parousia, followed of another period of epiphania, followed by another period of apocalypse. While according to 2 Peter 3:4, I understand that there is parousia of 1,000 years, which first 4 years wasn't understood and seen by anybody. And then, 1878, it was this bright shining of this parousia, or this bright shining of the presence just to the church started to reveal, and then later on start to reveal this to some of the world. And then, apocalypse is the same revelation of the same parousia or of the same presence, undoubtedly or unquestionably with touchable evidence for the world. If you can clarify this, is there are 3 different periods or is it like 1 full 1,000 year parousia, which has different stages of revealing to different groups? Thank you.
I would say that when we speak about 1,000 years and the parousia of 1,000 years away, and I told you before that Epiphania starts shortly after the beginning of the presence of the Lord and the revealment. So we may say, I would say, in general way, that as the parousia continue for 1,000 years, you may say that Epiphania and Apocalypse will also continue for the 1,000 years. Because everybody, the church and the world, should be enlightened by the word of truth. And for all of them will be a great revelation to understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So this is not the matter of one of any stage or some moment. This is continual process which begins from the church and will continue with the world. Over.
Thank you, Brother Andre. Sister Debbie?
Just to clarify what I think Brother Andre is saying, and maybe he can tell me if I'm right or wrong. It's during the 1,000 years of Christ being reigning over the earth, that because people are coming out of the grave, not all at once, but a little bit at a time, things have to be continuously revealed throughout that 1,000 years. Is that what you're saying? Over.
Yes, I present in this way. This thought came to my mind just before when I was asked it. I would look at the stages or parousia, epiphania, apocalypse. These are terms which represent their some ways our Lord uses to enlighten for the church and then the world. If you understand the meaning of the word epiphania or epiphaneia, the bright shining, that this is light of the truth, which shines first on the church and then on the world. And the world will be fully enlightened in the end of the millennium, when the sun will stand in its full, and I would say that what we said about the bright shining or epiphania, I would say that we may use the symbol of the sun, and this sun shines from the east to the west. And the revelation of Jesus Christ first is to the church that He came as a king. The church is resurrected. He revealed that there is our salvation. We began to understand the first resurrection, the order of resurrection. The next stages are the understanding of the prophecies, the revelation over the man of sin and other sin. And after that, many sins will be revealed to the world. Because it said that the everlasting life is that all may understand God and His Son, whom He sent. So I think this is, Russell uses only their order. First is parousia, then begins epiphania, and then begins the revelation. First we know that Jesus Christ has come to this world for the second time. After that, He gave us the understanding of His truth. And this revealed to earth the true character of God and his plan. Thank you. Over.
Brother Andre, you've expressed it well. We're going to switch gears. Can we ask you to stay with us for a few moments longer?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. As we're leaving this topic, I'll just, in my mind, to say, parousia means beside being. It's the act of our Lord returning and being with us here in Earth's atmosphere during that 1,000 years, as you said. But epiphania, bright shining, and apocalypsis, revealment, are actions that are the result of his parousia, his being here. So, of course, the parousia has to happen first in order for him to be present to start the revealing processes. First to the Spirit begotten, and then later to the world process. Thank you. Brother Andre, could you tell the brethren how many consecrated you think there are in Ukraine?
Now we have about 100 consecrated. About 100.
Are you closely located together?
Mainly brethren live in Lviv and in Lviv region. Some brethren and other classes, smaller, are located in the distance of about 100 to 250 kilometers.
And what is your current outlook for the winter for you brethren there?
Winter. Winter started with cold and snow here. We have a lot of snow outside. But the weather becomes more... It gets warmer. We hope it will be warmer. Because we are sympathetic with those who fight in the east in Ukraine. I understand the war is very cruel. But the war means very difficult conditions for those who fight. Even with them, we are sympathetic. We understand how difficult for them, even for both sides. For both sides. As for the brethren, we don't know. Because now we have blackouts. And if you have blackouts, you have no electricity even for heating. We don't know what situation will be, because the president of Russia told that if he will not be able to push Ukraine to sit at their table to get their armistice, he would try to destroy everything in Ukraine, all energy infrastructure. This is horrible, but this situation is possible. So we don't know what will be in there. Not only in the future, not only in the 1 week, but we don't know what will be tomorrow. We had the alarm today during the meeting, but no missiles. And be happy that no ruins for today. No killed, no injured. with these attacks, but their battles, ground battles, are continuing in the east of Ukraine. Every day, about 1,000 is killed.
Hmm.
And even more injured.
When there is a missile alert in your area, what do you brethren do?
First of all, the missiles try to hit the object of energy infrastructure or other very important objects. And the brethren who live in the city, because we here live about 1.5 kilometers from Lviv, it's very close. But you have no critical infrastructure here, outside, around. So when the brethren who live near the airport, near some army places, very important places for army, the brethren sometimes go down into the places where it's safe for them. But not all. Sometimes the brethren say, oh, I don't go. I'm tired with it. I stay at home. What will be? We will see. Hope the Lord will leave me with my life. But here we are quite safe. But it's one danger is when the Ukrainian missiles hit the Russian missile. And the explosion is somewhere in the air. The shrapnels may fall, even big smalls may fall even onto the roof. As for example, Brother Mikola Dmitrik's neighbor was hit by one shrapnel, quite large to damage his roof. So it was very close to him.
Brother Andre, the brethren's hearts around the world are with you indeed. What do you feel the brethren have especially learned through this trauma of war?
My mother was a young girl when the Second World War was in here in Ukraine, in our territories. She had a hard time in her life to survive during the Second World War. She worked in ghetto where the Jews were at the time, many Jews in Lviv. He saw as they were killed, as they were shot, and they were tortured, and they've seen a lot of blood. She and others many times have been in the danger of being killed or injured. And one time I said to him, Mom, I think you had enough difficulties, enough experience, enough troubles in your life. Probably the Lord will permit you to die peacefully. But we, the young generation, we should experience similar difficulties. And now I see that we are in these conditions, in these circumstances. So what we have to learn, first of all, our face is tried. Because when you see these pictures every day, when the people die, when they are bombed, when you see it in your heart begin to be filled with some kind of feeling that must be some vengeance for these crimes. It's quite difficult to love your enemies. Maybe it's easy to sit in their chair and look at maybe somewhere in the world, in Europe, in the United States, and say, I love my enemies. Of course, if you have enemies, maybe it's easy for you to love them. But if you have many, many enemies who are very cruel, who kill children and women, there's some kind of feeling of vengeance rise in your heart. So quite difficult to fight with it. And face. We don't know what will be tomorrow morning. What will be the situation? Easier? Or the situation will be more complicated? When there this air alarm starts, you don't know what will be in the few minutes. Maybe this rocket, this missile will hit your home or the neighbor's home. The brethren from many countries in Europe invite us to move to them, to live there with them. But you know, it's quite difficult to leave your home, to leave what you have at home, to leave the computer, to leave the Zoom, the opportunity to communicate with the brethren, to leave with your library, to leave your home together. We don't know. Russia says that they will try to attack our west region of Ukraine from Belarus. We don't know. We don't know. We have everything prepared for the flight. Documents, some items, some products. So we don't know what will be tomorrow. And one thing that we have to learn is our faith. Now we more appreciate the fellowship among the brethren. Previously we met with the brethren, it was a lot joy to meet, to sing, to meet every Sunday, general meeting, many conventions, young people, children seminars, and much, much more. Now we try to appreciate every opportunity to meet with the brethren. I would say that we now love brethren even more than before. Over.
Thank you, Brother Andre. Very insightful and very touching. And it helps us to better understand in our prayers and thoughts for you, brethren, there. And we appreciate so much your brethren's example of remaining faithful and your desires to serve the Lord even through these times of unknown from moment to moment, a very, very powerful life-altering experiences indeed. And it helps us to put our problems in perspective And we're thankful for that. That's good. Brother Roland, please.
Bravar, they mentioned blackouts, and I want to know if is anybody keeping track, or if you know who from the brethren, if there is any family who doesn't have wood burning fireplace or stove, or if those who have, is it easy to get wood for the winter, or maybe have enough for whole winter, and is it easy to get? That's one question. A second question, is there any special needs of the brethren, you know, and you can tell us for now, maybe for the winter? Thank you.
Every family of the brethren try to arrange in some way these matters for themselves. Try to get some wood or some stove. Sometimes we help the brethren with some costs if they need them. After the war started, it is quite difficult to buy some wood, because everybody needs it. It is quite expensive, quite expensive. The price has doubled, almost doubled for the last month. We still have gas, so it's quite warm in our home, and here in my home, we still have electricity versus blackouts 2 times a day. And we have, the people are, or cities and villages are divided into 3 groups. And everybody knows to which groups he belongs. So I know when the blackouts will be, at what time. Somebody helps to be prepared for this. So we try to do everything before blackout. And then we sit in darkness. We speak. We sing. I say we now have even more time than before. We hope when you have electricity, you have no time, but yeah, there is no electricity, you have a lot of time.
Thank you, Brother Andre. It was very, very helpful again. And brethren, we will close. We need to let Brother Andre, continue with his daily experiences there and responsibilities. You are the Bible student statesman amongst the brethren there in Ukraine, Brother Andre, and we very much appreciate your faithfulness in so doing. And I'd like to say, please give all of our love to your family and the brethren, and a special word of appreciation to Sister Zoriana and her family for her translation efforts and labors of love for the Lord and his people. And so, Brother Andre, would you close with a word of prayer for us, please?
Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we've come to you with this prayer, and we are very thankful for this time we spent with our brethren, with your family, with your spirit, with your understanding you gave us, that we may work out our salvation. We ask you for those who are in every difficulty and every trial. We ask you for those who are bedridden, who have pains, who have sufferings, who wait for their deliverance. We ask you for more wisdom, for more patience, for more faith in these difficult times. And we ask you, we ask this for all your people all over the world. May your name be glorified in all this. We believe this is for our welfare. And this is for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Andre. May the Lord bless and be with you through these difficult times.
Lord bless.
If we don't see you on this side, look forward to seeing you on the other side.
Lord bless.
God bless you all and stay with the Lord.
Brethren, in the meeting here, we're going to take a
thank you, Brother Andre.
10-minute break and return for our first volume study. For those who need that. So we'll resume at, looks like maybe 11:30 almost. Over.